Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off your very next order. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter, at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Got a really great show planned for today. We'll actually be joined in segments 2 and 3 by fantasy expert and host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Josh Lloyd, as he kind of gives us an introduction into fantasy basketball. So if you're interested in fantasy basketball, have always maybe wanted to dabble a little bit, I've been wanting to do this for a while with him, just, you know, a quick kind of crash course, elevator pitch on, you know, why fantasy might be something you might be interested in checking out if you've ever been kind of on the fence about doing that. So, and then in segment 1 right now, we're going to hit on some of the loose ends from this weekend. As far as Rockets news is concerned, and let's go ahead and the big storyline, regrettably, is that Gerald Green is not going to be a member of the Houston Rockets for now. And I say for now because basically this is how it all played out. Chris Clemens had his Achilles injury, which is very unfortunate. Still wishing Clemens all the best in his recovery. But what that means is that his contract became fully guaranteed. So when he became injured, his contract became fully guaranteed. The Rockets were not going to be able to waive him. Chances are they would have waived him. Now they cannot waive him. He's fully guaranteed and he is eating up cap space towards the hard cap. And the Rockets are a hard cap team because they received Christian Wood in that sign and trade from the Detroit Pistons. So that being said, they had to waive somebody. And it wound up becoming Gerald Green because everybody else that was ahead of Gerald Green in the rotation made sense to retain. Now, there is a hope because the Rockets are basically planning to figure out a way to bring back Gerald Green. They said, you know, Stephen Silas going so far as to say that, you know, that Gerald Green, you know, he's still going to be a part of the family and that we're going to figure out a way, if he doesn't get picked up by somebody else, for him to be a Rocket, which is what he should be. And that was from head coach Stephen Silas, that, you know, and the brand new head coach. Silas has only known, you know, Gerald for a short while. So for all intents and purposes, what's going to happen further down the season if somebody else doesn't pick up Gerald Green is that the NBA vet minimum contract becomes prorated as the season progresses. So the contract that Gerald would sign right now, or that he was on right now, is different than the contract he'll sign halfway through the season. So at some point, there will be a point in the season where the prorated vet minimum is low enough and counts, you know, counts for little enough against the salary cap that they'll be able to squeeze Gerald Green in under the hard cap and not, you know, not pass up that apron threshold, which they can't do because of the sign and trade for Christian Wood. So Gerald Green will hopefully, fingers crossed, become a Rocket again further down the line in the season. But right now, the finalized roster heading into the opening night for the Houston Rockets is going to be Harden, Wall, Gordon, Tucker, Wood, House, McLemore, Nwaba, Clemens, who is injured, Brown, Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin Jr., DeMarcus Cousins, Bruno Caboclo, and then they've got the two-way contracts in Broderick Thomas and Mason Jones. Now, Kenny Wooten, who was on a two-way contract, was waived by the Rockets, and they've converted the camp deal for Broderick Thomas into a two-way deal. So that is the Rockets' finalized 16-man roster with two two-way contracts and 14 active players. And because the NBA certified the plan to have there be 15 active players on game nights instead of 13 active players, all 14 of those players will be active and available every single game night, which is probably a just a a one-off change for this NBA season because of COVID-19 and everything going on in that regard. So normally you can only have 13 active players on game nights. Now you can have up to 15 active players on game nights. So pretty much every single one of those 14 players that the Rockets have, disregarding their two two-way guys in Jones and Thomas, will be active every single night. And expectedly, you know, as far as what I'm looking at the rotation probably gonna be, is that two out of three guys from the Nwaba, Brown, and Tate group will play probably on a nightly basis. Steven Silas saying that he intends to play basically a 10-man rotation. So I'm expecting probably two of those guys to play on a nightly basis, with a third of them having to sit out. And then Bruno Caboclo probably won't see the light of day unless there's games where DeMarcus Cousins is not playing. So then Bruno essentially is your backup five. And then in any games where John Wall sits down, then conceivably you could see a game where whoever the third is out of David Nwaba, Jayshon Tate, and Sterling Brown, whoever that third is that probably would have missed minutes on a regular night where John Wall was playing, that player will probably get a little bit of extra run in those games. So that's kind of how I'm expecting the rotation to roll out, all that good stuff. Another bit of news is PJ Tucker, his agent actually has been discussing at least the possibility of an extension with Rafael Stone. So there's some promise there. PJ is willing to, you know, remain a Houston Rocket past this season. At least the reports are pointing that direction, if he's not somehow also included in a deal if James Harden is dealt. And kind of brings us to the big thing is, there was a bit of noise, and I say noise because, you know, it's interesting, but John Granato, who is a Houston sports personality, radio personality for ESPN 97.5 and has been around the Houston sports scene for a long, long time, jumped on social media Sunday morning or early Sunday morning afternoon and basically said that he has an extremely credible source close to the Rockets that says that the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics have gotten into the mix of the James Harden sweepstakes and are essentially putting up offers of Pascal Siakam and more, as well as Jaylen Brown and more, in trying to compete for a James Harden offer. So this is interesting because it could just be more posturing by Rafael Stone. It could just be the Rockets driving that price up with no intention to actually take either of those deals because they still have their eyes set on potentially adding Ben Simmons. But my take on this, as far as John goes, is Granato has no reason to release this. He's in a very cushy spot with 97.5. He doesn't need to be a hot take artist. He's just not that kind of guy. He's a, you know, funny dude on the radio. I've interned at 97.5. I spent time with him. He's a cool enough dude. He has zero reason to jump on Twitter and to try and, you know, be a hot take artist or try to be a, you know, hashtag fake insider. So he must have a pretty reliable source and trust this person pretty thoroughly to go out on social media and say something like that. Now, whether that person, you know, is being fed misinformation, because it's just a giant game of politics at this point, with Daryl Morey leaking things to the media, then Rafael Stone leaking things to fight back, you know, the things that Daryl Morey has leaked. It's just constant back and forth, and it's really frustrating at this point because it almost feels like, you know, just hurry up and make a deal, just end the drama, right? But it's very possible that, you know, steam is picking up in the James Harden trade arena, I want to call it. I'm still leaning towards the side that they would be best served to just start the season and see how things work with this team. Because again, they have time on their side. They don't have to get a deal done right away, but there is the added incentive of, if a deal does get done, then James Harden can ink his new contract extension with his new team before the season starts. So that's a kind of added benefit of, if he is dealt before the start of the season, so then you get him under club control for an additional 2 years, the extension that the Rockets did offer him that he declined. So that's a possibility. That's something that's on the table and something worth considering. But I still think the ultimate goal is to bring in Ben Simmons. He's the clear-cut top player, but you've also got Pascal Siakam, who is, you know, a very, very solid player, would be an incredible player to pair with Christian Wood in the Rockets front court. 26 years old. I prefer, out of those two, though, with Jaylen Brown in the mix. Jaylen Brown, I think, fits the timeline a little bit better. Maybe you can argue he's not quite as talented as Pascal Siakam, but he's, you know, only 24 years old. He's got a bit more room to grow. He fits the timeline almost perfectly alongside Christian Wood, who is also 24 years old. So you can conceivably have a really nice young core between those two guys moving forward. Kind of the same concept with Ben Simmons is, you know, I think the biggest issue that a lot of people have with Ben Simmons is they picture him as a guard, and it's important to not think of Ben Simmons as a guard. He's not. Ben Simmons is a forward who is an all-NBA caliber defender who can pass, who can guard positions 1 through 5, who is elite at pretty much everything on the floor, elite at everything in the game of basketball except for shooting. So then if you just imagine Ben Simmons being able to add maybe a 15 to 18 foot jumper to his game, or the ability to finish through contact a little bit more around the rim, then suddenly you have a really destructive force. So as far as any James Harden trade packages are concerned, those are kind of my top three right now, is the Ben Simmons deal, which has been far and away the best offer so far on the table. Then you've got Pascal Siakam and Jaylen Brown a little bit below that. I think in another tier all by itself, you've probably got Michael Porter Jr. from the Denver Nuggets, if they somehow want to get involved in the James Harden sweepstakes, maybe some type of a three-team permutation trade where Harden lands on the Nuggets, MPJ goes to the Rockets. I don't know. Those three-team trades get a little wacky, and I haven't spent enough time fooling around in the trade machine to have a decent one drafted up, unfortunately. But MPJ is an interesting option because he's got a really high ceiling, really, you know, a lot of upside for him. So he'd be an interesting piece to try to bring back to Houston. And then that Tyler Herro offer is starting to look worse and worse from the Miami Heat. Like, I'm pretty sure they're just flat out of the running. They don't have the future draft capital offer. Herro is the least exciting player out of all of those players that I just previously mentioned. Yeah, I'm more excited about MPJ than I am about Tyler Herro in any potential James Harden offer. So that's going to be a situation that we've got to monitor because, hey, it's worth noting that the last time that James Harden was traded, it happened right before the start of the season, in between the off time between training camp and the start of the NBA season. And guess where we are right now? We are right in the off time between the end of training camp and the start of the NBA season. So it's very possible that James Harden is dealt. I'm still leaning in the direction that they are not going to deal him. And if I have to turn around and eat crow, I will. But I don't think it happens before the start of the season. I think they do roll out James Harden to start this NBA season. And this is going to suck if I have to roll this back and eat my own words. But that's just the direction that I'm leaning. I haven't been blown away by any of these packages. And again, I think Rafael Stone is just leveraging the market, doing his due diligence, trying to really see what's out there before pulling the trigger on a deal that he is not absolutely 110% pleased with. He was a lawyer. He was general counsel. That's what he's doing. He's being a lawyer. He's doing the work, and it's great. And that's all we can ask for as Rockets fans, is that he does his due diligence to get the best possible offer back for James Harden to set this franchise up for success in the future. So that's pretty much all the major headlines that I wanted to hit on. Ran a little long in that first segment, but just a lot of stuff to kind of squeeze into the top of the show there, because we do have fantasy expert Josh Lloyd from Locked On Fantasy Basketball joining us here in just a moment to talk about, to kind of provide a crash course in fantasy basketball, share some of his insight, and we'll get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends from betonline.ag. We've got college football heading into bowl season, and there are some seriously big matchups. NFL regular season is finishing up, and the playoff picture is becoming a little bit clearer, and the NBA season is set to start. And there is only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that is betonline.ag. And you can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. You can get in on the action. Just don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. You can check out the NBA's futures bets. Those are super cool. You can try to figure out who is going, you know, place bets on who's going to be the regular season MVP, the DPOY, the coach of the year, all sorts of stuff. And you can check that out. So visit our good friends and exclusive partner at betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or even Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you are definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, we are now joined by our resident fantasy basketball expert and host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, Josh Lloyd. How's it going, Josh?
Hey, Jackson. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man, and I'm really excited to talk some fantasy hoops with you, which is actually, this is kind of a nice change of pace because usually, you know, I'm on the receiving end of your questions being brought on Locked On NBA that you host on Mondays, and now I've got you over here and I'm able to grill you a little bit, so it's kind of a nice change of pace, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, just switching things up, and now I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll just dive straight into this. I guess just at its core, you know, for someone, you know, potentially who has never played fantasy basketball, or better yet, even somebody who's never done fantasy anything, what would be your like elevator pitch to them as to why people should bother checking out fantasy? Why is it interesting? Why is it fun?
I think especially if you're coming into, you know, watching a league or, you know, watching the NBA for the first time, it's a great way to. You get a handle on who all the players are, how everyone fits in, what everyone's good at, what everyone's bad at, and having an understanding of just the basis of learning the league. It, to me, if you are getting into a new sport, you're playing fantasy, gets you right across that league straight away, because you have to be. If you want to be competitive in it, and everyone has their own competitive juices that they like to get flowing, to be competitive at it, you've got to be switched on to what's happening across the league. So you pick it up straight away doing that. It's fun. It makes the games a little bit more interesting as well. It broadens your scope if you're a Rockets fan and you don't, you know, anything about Christian Wood because you didn't watch any Pistons games last year. Then, yeah, if you are playing fantasy, you get an idea of what's happening around the league. So you get an idea, yeah, outside of your own sort of myopic view of your own team. And you're still going to focus on your own team more, but you sort of have an understanding of what's going on around the league with other teams, and yeah, broadening that scope out there because you've got an additional interest in those other players. And it's just fun, you know, playing against your mates, you know, talking shit when things are going well for you, and, you know, copying it on the other end when you're getting beaten. It's just it's a nice social experience as well.
You know, and coming from, so I've done a little bit of fantasy in my time. I'm really excited for the Locked On Fantasy League that we're a part of together, because I know I'm going to get my ass kicked, which is great. That's going to be all sorts of fun. But I guess, you know, just kind of dialing it back to some of the basics, because again, this is going to be for some people who have, you know, potentially never dabbled in fantasy whatsoever. You know, do you necessarily need like a preordained group of people to do fantasy, or are there leagues out there that you can join if you don't have any friends who are interested in trying fantasy?
No, you can join it really wherever you want. Yeah, there are public leagues that are available on sites like Yahoo and ESPN. Yeah, there are plenty of people who run your more competitive leagues that aren't just against general public people that I can I orchestrate a lot of those, or have people that are setting those up that I would recommend people getting into as well. So you can find a community online. Yeah, through there's Reddit, there's my Discord, there's plenty of places where you can go and find leagues with competitive people who know what they're doing, and not just, you know, public leagues that sometimes can cause issues in terms of, you know, players not really paying attention for the majority of the season, which sometimes can turn you off if you're playing and then half the people drop out or anything like that. But it's very easy to find those leagues. But you know, joining a public league can be a good start, but you know, if you can find other more competitive leagues to really get you in if you don't have a local hometown league to join in with.
Now, what is your, because within every community, there tends to be, you know, I want to gauge your opinion of what is the fantasy community like? Does it tend to be kind of a cohesive community where if you really don't know what you're doing, you can reach out and ask for help or advice, or are you kind of just left on an island to try and figure it out on your own?
No, I think they're really, really helpful. Like people are willing to give advice to people who are joining for the first time or playing for the first time, providing assistance one-on-one, providing resources for them to be able to find out what they're doing. I've really found it to be quite all-encompassing in that regard. And it's really, it's a pleasure to see that sort of thing. It's really, the vast majority of people involved are quite positive, which is great.
Now, I guess, also the big part, and we're going to get here in just a second, is obviously doing the draft, right? Picking your players, getting your team put together. What have you found to be the best medium, I guess, so far, in your time, playing fantasy, enjoying it, experiencing it? Obviously different sites have grown and changed over time, but which do you find to be the best, most all-encompassing site for, as far as tools and whatnot to get a fantasy league together and have the best time, orchestrating that?
I'd say Yahoo's probably the place to go. It's in my opinion the most popular. There's things they need to work on still. Like if you're looking for the most robust site in terms of all the options that are available to you, then it's a site called Fantrax is the one that does that. But that's probably more for a hardcore fantasy person. Yahoo is probably the one that most people would go on to and play along with their mates. Features that make it a little bit easier, like you click the button, can you auto set my lineup for the week, and we move guys into the bench and move guys off the bench if they're playing or not, and just sort of little shortcut type of things like that. And it probably has the most people playing on there as well, so that's the one that I think the majority of people would be heading into.
Now, when it comes time for the draft, which it's the big moment, you're ready to sit down with your friends, maybe it's just with your online guys that you found a group with, and this is an area that I probably should have gotten some advice from you before we did our draft, but are there strategies when you're drafting a team, or is it pretty much just take the best player available, or maybe a mix of both?
Look, in general, it depends on what type of league you're in. If you're in a basic points type league, which is similar to a fantasy football format, then you generally will just take the player who's projected to score the most points. If you're in a traditional and the most popular type of fantasy league, which is like a registry category type league, like you'd see in a fantasy baseball setup, then if you're just taking the best player available, it won't work for your team because of it's very much more similar to building an NBA roster. It's like you have to get the right pieces that fit with the other guys that you have. Because if you're just grabbing a whole bunch of guys that are all point guards because they're all the best player available, then your team might struggle in some of the other areas that you need to build strength in terms of getting big men or blocking shots or dealing with your field goal percentage. If the guys that you have on your team don't make sense together, then it doesn't work out just by drafting off a list of your best player available.
So I want to get a little bit of clarification on that and just kind of how that scoring system works. And we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. When is the last time that you had a protein bar that you actually enjoyed? If the answer is never, we can change that, and we can change that by you checking out Built Bar. They've got 18 delicious flavors. You can't go wrong with really any one of them. My personal favorite, the double chocolate mousse, just can't go wrong with that one, but I'm a chocolate guy at heart. There's also salted caramel, cookies and cream, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, so many amazing flavors to choose from, and again, these bars, they're not like protein bars. They're really not. They're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They are low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. If you're on a keto diet, that's perfect for you. They're great for the health-conscious person. Maybe you're trying to lose a little bit of weight. Maybe you're just trying to maintain where you're at. You can do either of those with Built Bar, and you can check it out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. I'm supposed to be promoting Hollinger and Duncan right now out of this last break. But you know what? I'm going to skip a little bit further down my calendar because I should be promoting Locked On Fantasy because I'm here right now with Josh Lloyd discussing fantasy basketball. So if you haven't checked out Locked On Fantasy, there's a definite reason to go do that. Josh, you are the expert. You've got everybody covered at Locked On Fantasy Basketball every single day of the week, right?
Yes, I hope I do. I hope I cover everything for everybody. But yeah, we're there, yeah, dropping fantasy shows all the time. We're really excited to get into this season where we do daily recaps and daily previews. Yeah, heaps of stuff that's over there on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast.
And so to kind of keep running along this train of just getting some introductory information out there, you know, kind of with this podcast for the Rockets listeners here, and then, you know, hopefully they'll jump over and tune into your podcast for a much more in-depth, breakdown of fantasy basketball and how this season's going to progress and all that great stuff. But one area that I kind of need some clarification here and is, you know, I guess you kind of touched on this a little bit, but you know, the ways that you quote unquote win in fantasy basketball, and I know that they kind of vary league by league, but is there a general breakdown of like, okay, you know, an assist is worth this much, you know, threes are worth this much? Is there kind of a universal understanding of that, or how all does that actually work?
So again, it depends on what sort of league you're playing in. If you're playing the basic form of the league, which is the fantasy football equivalent, where it's a points league where everything is given a points value, so then your player might get 50 fantasy points. So then there is a standard that the NBA has set. It's 1 point per point, 1.2 for a rebound, 1.5 for an assist, 3 for a steal, 3 for a block, and -1 for a turnover. So it's just counting those 6 basic categories with those points values assigned. If you're playing in, again, the traditional format and the more popular format, which is a category league, generally you're scored across 9 categories, but it's not points per category. So what you do, say you and me, and this is the league that we're in, Jackson. So when we go up against each other, all our players accumulate stats in points, three-pointers, rebounds, assists, steals and blocks, field goal percentage, free throw percentage, and turnovers. So our two teams, we accumulate our stats for the week and we go up against each other. We compare all of our players, who scored the most points. And then if you scored more points, you get one win for that category. Then if my team scored more three-pointers, then I get one win for that category. If I get more assists, I get one win for that category. If I get more steals, I get another win there. If you get more blocks, then you get a win for that category. So over the end of the week, you've got 9 categories that you're facing off against your opponent, and you see how many of those categories you win against them in that head-to-head matchup for the week.
Excellent. Okay, so there is it is impossible to tie because it's 9 categories, correct? So well, at the end of the day,
you could have 4 wins.
Oh, okay, that's true.
And then one of those categories could end up tied. We both could hit 95 three-pointers for the week or something.
Okay, so ties do happen in fantasy basketball.
Yes, they do.
Okay, all right. That's good to know. See, I'm educating myself as well as hopefully you listening to this podcast at home, in your car, wherever you're listening to your podcast. Now, just kind of, I guess, moving into my next area is, you know, are there necessarily, like, as you're doing your draft, are there kind of some, I don't know if this is the right term for it, but maybe some like sleeper picks that you've deemed, you know, really interesting going into this season, guys who are poised to have really big years that you saw, you know, some promise in last season, and then their situation has changed and they're going to be, you know, ideally have some really big seasons and be big, you know, fantasy contributors for whoever drafts them?
Well, there are, you know, quite a few sleeper type players who are around. A lot of the, when I put a lot of my sleeper stuff out a few weeks ago, about a week or so after that, a lot of the sites changed their actual rankings to sort of align with what I did. So that wasn't ideal for people looking to get those guys as sleepers anymore. But you can still get value on players, say with like a Nerlens Noel hasn't been adjusted. I think he's going to be like the starting center for the Knicks. You can still get guys like Alfred Payton and Dante DiVincenzo later, Darius Bazley, Patrick Williams, Isaac Okoro, those sort of rookies who have come along late and look like they might be starters for their team from, if not from day one, then pretty early on. There is value in some of those later type options. You can still find players like DeMarcus Cousins, who is being drafted outside the top 120. And I think that he is going to have, even in limited minutes, is going to have a pretty large fantasy production for this season. So he's another guy that you can get relatively late that can provide some strong value for your team, assuming he doesn't get hurt, of course. They're probably the major names that are standing out to me at this point. Even someone like a Mason Plumlee, perhaps, in Detroit, who's likely going to be there your starting center and get the vast majority of those minutes there. So he's another one of those later round type of guys. But you're looking at those guys like, you know, Bazley's and Patrick Williams, Okoro's, those sort of players as later round picks who can really jump up.
Okay, great deal. Great stuff. I guess, you know, in your experience, you know, covering fantasy basketball, practicing and all that stuff, what are some of, you know, for a wily fantasy veteran like yourself, what are some, I guess, tips and tricks that you've kind of picked up along the way, and maybe some advice that you could impart for somebody who's looking to get into it for their first time?
One of the things that happens every year is the first 3-4 days of the season, people panic. So they'll see their player that they drafted in round 4 or whatever. Let's use Chris Middleton for an example. And he comes out and he shoots 2 of 10 and then, you know, 4 of 20 in the first two games. And people will end up doing something stupid. They'll drop him, or they'll say, oh, he's terrible. And then they'll trade him for Ricky Rubio, Alec Burks, someone like that, because they're panicking. I see it all the time. Or on the flip side, someone will come out who is, let me just pull a random name out here. Malik Beasley will come out and he'll score 27 points in the first game on 9 of 11 shooting. Right. And I go, man, look at that, crazy. And then someone will come out there and go, I need to get him. So let's trade Zach LaVine for Malik Beasley, because he had the Beasley breakouts coming. It was fantastic. And LaVine shot 2 of 15 in his first game. And people just wildly overreact to those first 2 or 3 games. So just, if you invested a high pick in someone, be careful in cutting bait or trading them because they had 1 or 2 bad games. Your shooting percentages wildly vary in the first couple of games, and that can lead to horrific overreactions. I remember one of the ones that always stands out to me is, I think 2 years ago, Jaylen Brown in his first game, I think it was against Cleveland, maybe the first game of his second season, was against the Cavs, and he went out and had like 28 points on ridiculously high shooting. And someone that commented to me said, oh, look, I had to get Jaylen Brown, so I traded Bradley Beal to get him. And in the end, I think Brown finished 140th in the league and Beal finished 15th because of just a panic overreaction to one night of action. So that's something that first week, really careful of not overreacting to what happens.
Oh man, that guy must have regretted that decision immensely. That's amazing advice right there. Don't panic. I feel like that's just great sound life advice in general, not just fantasy basketball advice, but yes. All right. I got one more for you, Josh, before we get you out of here, because I've got to know, just give me your best fantasy basketball related story. Maybe, you know, you had a major upset somewhere, or like an end of the bench guy who went off and totally saved your week. Just what story do you have sitting there? Because I know you've probably got one or two.
The major one I can think of, this is back before I really even started doing this as a job, I think it was, is I remember playing in a fantasy basketball playoffs. And I'm going to tie this into the Rockets here for you, so this will work for you, Jackson.
Oh, excellent. I love it.
We're in a league that counted triple-doubles, and which is a really bad league to do that, but we did have that. And I was going up against my brother in the playoffs, and yeah, I was looking beaten in most categories, but I had a chance with the triple-doubles and picked up Chuck Hayes. And it was that weird time where he was playing a lot of center, but he was getting these weird triple-doubles in like March of, I don't know, let's say 2010, maybe it was. And he came through and got like 2 or 3 triple-doubles in a week and won me that category and got me through that round of the playoffs. So shout out to Chuck Hayes for being a 6'8 center dropping triple-doubles in March to really get me through the fantasy basketball playoffs.
Absolutely. Shout out Chuck Wagon. I love that we tied that together, that we get to finish on a Rocketsy note. That's incredible, Josh. And you'll have everybody covered for anybody who, you know, listen to this, got, you know, maybe piqued their interest a little bit in fantasy basketball. You'll have everything covered for them over at Locked On Fantasy Basketball, won't you?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, subscribe there. Follow me on Twitter as well, redrock_bball. Lots happening, lots of info, and I'm sure you guys won't be disappointed.
Awesome. Thanks again for taking the time to be here with us today, Josh.
No worries.
All right. For today's episode of Locked On Rockets, that's going to do it. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.